I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.
Welcome, talkers. This is Dangerous Talk, and I'm your host, Stax. And today, I want to talk about cults. This came up because earlier today, I was listening to the Bill Press Show. Bill Press, if you don't know, is a progressive talk show radio host. There aren't that many of them, but he is one of them. And from what I gather from listening to his show fairly often, he tends to be kind of fairly liberal Christian. He doesn't actually bash atheism, though, so that's kind of cool, but he's fairly liberal Christian. Actually, pretty damn liberal Christian. In any case, he had a guest on his show today, Rick Ross, and he wanted to talk to Rick Ross about cults, because Rick is an expert in cults, and apparently Scientology has been making the news again. Tom Cruise, the wacky Scientologist, all over the headlines. So they decided to bring Rick Ross into the show to kind of talk about Scientology as a cult. And now, I've had people on the blogs talk about Scientology as a cult, and I think I had a blog about that not all that long ago. And one of the things I want to stress is Scientology is really, really wacky. Especially when it first started, L. Ron Hubbard was really nuts. Like, people don't realize, like, they had black ops teams going out and stuff. Like, they were really far out there. The fact that, I guess, Tom Cruise had a couple of speeches that were on YouTube, and they kept getting pulled down. I eventually found it on YouTube. The description was cute puppies. And that was what you had to search for in order to find this video on Tom Cruise and Scientology. I mean, they actually had to hide. They couldn't put Tom Cruise or Scientology or anything related to that in the description. Otherwise, it would get pulled down. I mean, that's how crazy Scientology is, and still is. I mean, that's how, you know, it is. But the thing that I like about Scientology is that everybody agrees, except for Scientologists, that they are wacky. And I like that because I can use Scientology and compare Christianity to Scientology. Because I really, once you get past, you know, L. Ron Hubbard being a sci-fi writer, and the fact that Scientology is only like 50 years old, it really is more logical, more reasonable, I should say, than Christianity. Not to say that Scientology is reasonable, because it absolutely is not. When I defend Scientology, it's not that I'm defending Scientology. I'm just trying to show that Christianity is equally, well, more, it's not even equally. Christianity is much worse than Scientology, both in its dangerous effects and in the amount of brainwashing they do. I mean, in just every comparable thing that you can say that Scientology is wacky in, Christianity is that much worse. When you talk about, you know, Scientology has the black ops teams, Christianity also has black op teams. In fact, one of them is Blackwater, which we're paying for as taxpayers. And I guarantee you that's going to bite us in the ass. I guarantee you that Blackwater is going to turn their sights on America. And we'll have, like, actually Blackwater troops going on missions here in America. I guarantee it. I see it on the horizon. But my point is that Scientology, as wacky as it is, it's a great sounding board for Christianity. Because Scientology, at least, is in the realm of this universe. You know, like, the evil Lord Xenu is from another planet. But he's not from another dimension. And he's not from no dimension. God, you see, is metaphysical. He's not even not just from another planet, he's not even in this universe. He's outside of the universe. I mean, that takes what Scientology says far out there. As Scientology talks about thetons or whatever, and they have theton meters and stuff, but Christianity has souls, and there isn't even a soul meter. I mean, that's how far out there Christianity is in comparison to Scientology. Scientology claims that you can cure some diseases and stuff by lowering your thetan level, and psychology and get that in line. But doesn't Christianity have faith healing and all kinds of stuff like that? And I know some of you Christians say, oh, you're only picking on the wacky Christians. But no, not really. Even the mainstream Christians, they don't believe in faith healing necessarily as the laying of hands. But they believe that praying to God actually changes things in the universe. I mean, they may not realize it, but they do. I mean, they'll pray. They talk about prayer all the time and having faith and all this stuff. So they believe it. And these are the liberal guys. So it does affect us. And, you know, with Christianity making up 80% of the American population, even though, you know, I'd say 40%, 45% are fairly liberal or moderate, I have this Harris poll in front of me. And this Harris poll is dated July 6, 2005, which is the latest Harris poll on this. And so we're already 3 years old here, or 2.5 years, really. And it says, majority of U.S. adults, 54%, do not think human beings developed from earlier species. 54% of Americans do not accept the scientific theory of evolution. I mean, that's, when you get that way, that's just crazy. I know a lot of Christians, especially the liberal moderates, say that when I attack Christianity, that I should only be attacking the extremists, as if the extremists were just a small number, like 10%. But no, it's 54%, and that was in 2005. In the 2.5 years since then, my bet is that that number has risen a lot. And while I can't substantiate that with statistics, I'm pretty sure I'm right. And I think you all think I'm right too on this one. So this is a very real problem. And it's a situation with Christianity across the board. And lately I've been getting into a lot of debates with moderate Christians. And I talked about this on the last show. But because of the thing that was going on in the Bill Press show, where he had Rick Ross on the show talking about cults and how evil Scientology is, and how Scientology is a wacky cult, I decided that I'd try to call into the Bill Press show and kind of make the comparison between Christianity and Scientology. As it turns out, they weren't taking phone calls in that segment, so that was disappointing. But I went to Rick Ross's website, which oddly enough is rickross.com, and he has a nonprofit group in Jersey that specializes in cults and deprogramming cult members and such. So I went to the page and I looked around. There's a lot of information there. It seems like it's a pretty good source, you know, to find stuff on cults. And Rick Ross is critically acclaimed, and, you know, he seems like he knows his stuff. But I wanted to put him to the test. So I sent an email to him, you know, just a quick email, like, because on the show he listed 3 criteria for cults. So based on those 3 criteria, Christianity would be considered a cult. Would you agree or disagree? So I wasn't putting out any bias. This is just, you know, I just put that out there. And, you know, I don't know what bias he would think that I had on that. I mean, he might have thought, since 80% of American people are Christian, that I'm saying, like, how dare you, because that criteria fits me, I'm a Christian. So, you know, I don't know what he thought. But his response, I thought, was rather funny. Well, not funny, funny strange. Let's see here, what do I have? Here is his response. He said, no, not at all. And then he listed 2 links to about brainwashing techniques and some FAQs from his website on different things of what exactly a cult is. But no, not at all. Like, the fact that was basically it. I mean, he was so sure that it, and he sent it, by the way, the response was sent to me fairly quickly. I was pretty surprised. I sent him the email during the show when he was actually on the Bill Press show at 8:20 a.m. and he responded at a little bit before noon. So that's pretty quick. Like, he's checking his email pretty constantly that he sent it right away. And so I was pretty impressed by that, first off. And, you know, it just... But his response, no, not at all. It was just declarative. That's it. That subject closed. Not even a question. Two negations there, which, in my view, if you know, using the English language, when somebody says no, not at all, that means yes. So I wrote him a fairly lengthy response back, making my case of how Christianity fits his three criteria. And he wrote me back fairly quickly again, responding to it and basically trying to criticize my credentials because I'm not an expert in cults. And he's right, I'm not an expert in cults. However, years ago when I had this show on WCUR. I was on WCUR at the time, and I had the show. It wasn't Dangerous Talk at the time, but it was, you know, the precursor to that. And it wasn't focused on politics and free thought issues as much. It was more just a general entertaining show that talked about current events. And I'd pick a topic and go off on the topic, do like a ton of research for it. And I did a show on cults. And I did a ton of research on cults. So I'm not an expert on cults. But I'm certainly not someone who knows nothing of the subject. You know, I'm fairly educated on the definitions of cults. And while I don't have them in front of me, I do remember, because I'm not doing the preparation that I used to do anymore, don't have the time, but I do remember that the original definition of cult, when we originally had the term, was any religious group, and it wasn't a derogatory term. Cult wasn't a bad thing. Then it wasn't until about the 60s that it started becoming a bad word, and what Christianity did was it redefined the word cult to any non-Christian religious group and then put a derogatory slant on it. And that was their way of, they were sending out deprogrammers. They actually hired people, trained them to be deprogrammers. They created deprogrammers to go out there and to deprogram people and bring them back to Christianity. It was something Christianity pioneered. They started that whole ball rolling. And it wasn't until one of their deprogrammers was hired to deprogram a fundamentalist Christian that Christianity got all uppity and said, oh, we're done with this. And they started moving away from the deprogramming business and back into the programming business where they belong. But in any case, that's kind of how the origin of the word cult kind of evolved. Now, of course, it's a really derogatory term. If you're calling a religion a cult, there are very negative connotations towards it. And that's one of the things that Rick Ross, his thing, he has these criteria here. And let me see if I can find where he has them. And these are criteria from a psychologist that he quoted here, Robert J. Lifton. And Robert J. Lifton wrote a definitive book. I don't see the title of his book. But anyway, he wrote this book, and in there he has three main criteria for cult. The first is a charismatic leader who increasingly becomes the object of worship as the general principle that may have originally sustained the group lost power. Now, basically, it's a charismatic leader. I would argue that Jesus is that charismatic leader who increasingly becomes the object of worship. Now, even though I don't believe Jesus actually existed, the thing is, it doesn't really matter because Christians believe he existed. And they're the cultists, the cult members. And as cult members, they worship Jesus, this charismatic leader. Or even, you can even say, they take it a step further, God being that charismatic leader. The all-powerful, you know. And so in a way, I'm basically making the argument that not only is Christianity a cult, but it's the ultimate cult, really. So anyway, the second criteria is the process is in use. Oh, you know, I guess that's in brackets. So it's a process that's in use. That coercive persuasion or thought reform. Now, all you atheists out there, my fellow free thinkers, I think you'll agree with me that Christianity definitely uses corrosive persuasion and thought reform. That I think that goes really without saying. But for some of you liberal Christians who are listening, or fundamentalist Christians who are listening, who don't think that, for starters, we can talk about how Christianity brainwashes children from birth. Before a kid can walk, they're already in the atmosphere and already having to be a believer. While all children are born without a belief in a deity, they are very quickly trained to believe that there is one. Even if later in life they reject it and then come back to it, they're only coming back to it because they have that framework in place from the beginning. And in a world where 80% of the American public are Christians and 54% don't believe in the science of evolution, it brings up a whole atmosphere. You're in an environment where Christianity is the norm, and this kind of belief is expected. And by the way, out of the other 20%, 10% of those are still God believers. So they're just one step removed. So we only have basically us, the 10% atheists that disagree. And most of us have, I'd say, and this is, there's no statistics on this to my knowledge, I'd say at least half of the atheists out there or agnostics or however, that 10%, by the way, is grouped. It's like atheists, agnostics, non-belief, or, you know, whatever. I'd say at least half, probably 7 out of 10, you know, of those are fairly kind of like, well, you know, I don't believe, but I don't really have a problem with other people's beliefs. You know, kind of wishy-washy. I don't think Christianity is evil. It's just not for me. You know, that kind of thing. There are very few atheists out there who are willing to actually take a stand, you know, and say Christianity is this evil cult. So from that standpoint, we're really in the minority. Anyway, let me get back to, and there are other persuasive techniques that Christians use, and I can go on all day. I can do a whole show on that, and then some. But I want to go to the third criteria here real quick, which is economic, sexual, or other exploitation of group members by the leader and the ruling katie, or whatever word that means. Any case, basically, it's does the leader or the ruling class of the cult exploit people sexually and economically? With Catholicism, it's pretty obvious that the answer is yes. And they're a pretty big branch of Christianity. But there are Christians who say Catholics aren't Christian. So I can understand that. But let's take Christianity as a whole, meaning if you're the most liberal Christian imaginable. No, I don't want to go that, because there are some liberal Christians who are kind of like atheists, in that they don't believe in God, but they still call themselves Christian. You laugh, but I've met them. So let's say a fairly liberal Christian, peace and love, thinks that Jesus is all peace and love. Do they exploit, or are they exploited, because they would be cult members, through economic or sexual. Do they exploit? Economic. First off, churches don't pay taxes. That's an economic burden on everyone else, who has to pay slightly more taxes to make up for the fact that churches don't pay taxes. And if you go to any town, not only is there one church, but there are multiple churches in every town in America. I haven't been to a town that only had one church. And I've been to some pretty small towns. They almost always have more than one church. So they have a lot of land. And some of these churches are huge. And I'm not even just talking about the mega churches. I mean, you go to a small town and they have huge churches, huge plots of land, mostly grass and then a little building. They got huge plots of land, tax free, because we're paying the taxes. That's an economic burden to the rest of us. So not only are they trying to exploit economically from their parishioners, but they're also exploiting us, who are non-believers. They're exploiting everybody economically. But let's go to the collection plate. Some churches make you pay a certain percentage of your income to the church. Others just pass around the plate. Now, you do know that when they're passing around the plate, if you're a believer, if you're a cult member in Christianity, God is watching you. He is watching to see exactly how much money you are giving. And if you remember the story, you know, some biblical stories out there, God wants you to sacrifice. He wants you to give when you cannot give. He's all about the sacrifice. And I talked about this once before. Like, there's a Christian internet talk radio show similar to mine. He has less listeners than me, and he's making $10,000. $10,000 off of his show. And he tells story. He's proud. And this is a liberal Christian too. And he's proud that people have donated, you know, when they had very little money to donate. He's proud of that. That boggles my mind. Because, you know, I'll tell you right now, I make exactly zero. I make negative money off the show. It actually costs me money to run the show and to do what I do for Dangerous Talk. But, and even though I have a donation button, I don't want people to use it. I want you to donate to other things. But my point is that even atheist organizations that are out there aren't making a killing. I mean, they're barely paying their costs. Christians, the churches are huge buildings, elaborate. You know, Christians have more money than they know what to do with because they use that money to fund all kinds of destructive things, like lobbying Congress to stop aid to Africa because some of that aid may go to condoms. You know, in AIDS-ridden Africa, condoms is their worst problem, according to Christianity, because, you know, it's attacking their soul. And then, you know, their lobby on stem cell research is unbelievable. I can't believe how much money they pay those lobbyists to go try and lobby Congress to stop stem cell research. Then, of course, you know, the anti-homosexual groups. I mean, that's probably the biggest one out of the three that I just named. It can go on all day. I mean, when every candidate in a presidential election are all Christian and they're debating about which one is more Christian, even the Democrats, you know this is a problem. These people are brainwashed. I'm sorry, but Christianity is a cult. Then we go to sexuality, okay? In the Catholic Church, it's easy to say, okay, sexuality, what's going on there? Whole lot of priests are going after a whole lot of altar boys. We get it. That's the Catholics. Most Christian churches will distance themselves from that, and even the Catholics go, yeah, but that's just a few people. Well, except that it's not just a few people. But that aside, Christianity goes the opposite way in general. Instead of having their leadership have sex with cult members, they go the opposite way. And they restrict sex. They tell you sex is bad. It's sinful. Nudity is bad. Nudity is sinful, except when it has to do with marriage, when it's in marriage, and even then, you're only supposed to have sex to procreate. That's, you know, most people break that, but they're just spilling the seed at that point. I mean, it's a whole thing, and even the liberal Christians who have no problem with sex. Even them, they feel dirty. They're sexually repressed. And what does sexual repression do? Well, for starters, we can look at, you know, a country that takes that view even further than we do here, And that would be, oh, I don't know, Iraq, where they're sexually repressed. And they, well, I almost made the mistake of saying Iraq flew planes in the buildings, and it wasn't Iraq, but it was Al-Qaeda, and it was those Muslim fundamentalists, and the Christian fundamentalists are just as repressed. All right, well, maybe not just as repressed. There may be one step short of that kind of repression. But that kind of repression, what it does is it feeds anger, it feeds anxiety, it feeds hate. There are Christians, you know, because it's in the Bible, it says that if you look at a woman and feel lust in yourself, that you're already, that that's a sin, that you've committed a crime, that you've had sex with her in your mind, and that that is the same thing as actually having sex with her. Impure thoughts. And they say there's no brainwashing going on. Anyway, so getting back to the original story, my view is Christianity is a cult. And when I brought this to Rick Ross's attention, the last email he sent me was rather long and saying, absolutely not, you know, it's not a cult, that I'm not an expert on cults like he is. Let me pull some clips here from what he said, because he said quite a lot. I misapplied Lofton's criteria. Jesus is not a living leader controlling Christian churches today on earth, even though L. Ron Hubbard's not a living leader controlling Scientology churches today on earth either. So I don't see what the point is there. And the idea is that, actually, though, Christianity, according to Christianity, basic tenets of Christianity, Jesus is alive. I mean, he's immortal. He lives forever. He is alive. So he is a living leader. He cheated death. I mean, that's the whole thing with Christianity. So he is alive today. And he is controlling the Christian churches. Just ask Pat Robertson. No, but Pat Robertson aside, I want to also talk about the liberal Christians, because I think they're also partially to blame here, and that they too are part of this cult. They're just less wacky members of the cult. They're, you know, they're not quite as fervent, but they're still members of this cult. Now, he also says that his center, which I guess has been open since like the mid-90s, hasn't received a complaint of harm done systematically through, you know, Christian churches. And he hasn't received one complaint. Now, that strikes me as kind of odd, but my thought was, I just heard of this guy today. Even though he's been on TV shows and all kinds of stuff, my guess is he hasn't really asked. He's more asked about, you know, Scientology or, you know, specific branches of Christianity, like the Westboro Baptist Church, which is Fringe, or Heaven's Gate. You know, and he's concentrated on these kind of extreme, almost obviously cultish, even though I think Christianity is fairly obviously cult too. But I do think it's kind of funny that he hasn't received any complaints, because as a member of the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia, we have an anti-discrimination panel where we receive people's stories about how they've been discriminated against. And we get them all the time. So maybe he just hasn't asked. My view is, because I know a lot of you listeners out there agree with me on this, that, especially if you're atheist, that you were probably once a believer in the Christian or Judeo-Christian or even any of the Abrahamic faiths. And you probably... You might have even been a strong believer in those faiths, I don't know. And that you came out of it, that you left that cult. Maybe what you could do is tell that story and send it to Rick Ross. And I'll give you his email address at the end of the show. But I want you, or give examples of how harm has been done to you systematically through Christianity. And there's so many stories of that. I mean, just from the general public, you know, like I was talking about this sexual repression, that's filtered into secularism. You know, I sent out something supporting Denis Kucinich lately. Well, I do that a lot lately. And somebody emailed me back on my friends list, said, you know, how can you support Denis Kucinich? He's friends with Larry Flynt. Larry Flynt, you know, hates women, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm a fan of Larry Flynt, and I'm supportive of Denis Kucinich even more because he's friends with Larry Flynt. But Larry Flynt doesn't hate women. In fact, the opposite. Larry Flynt has been very supportive of women's rights, and but yes, he does do a porn magazine. He does do Hustler magazine, you know. But is that evil? That he has naked women who volunteer to be in his magazine? I mean, he probably even pays them. I don't know. But my point is that it's not like he's taking crack whores off the street and saying, I'll give you money if you appear naked in my magazine. You know, the people who are in his magazine don't necessarily need the money. I mean, they would be. It's nice. It's a job. But it's not like they're forced into it by some sort of indentured servitude. You know? So, but that whole idea that naked women is exploiting women necessarily, and that's evil because they're naked, and Adam and Eve ate of the apple, and, you know, or ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and were ashamed. That's basically where our problem with sexuality comes from, which is a direct result of Christianity. And, I mean, that's a whole nother show, too. I don't even want to get into that one, because that's a whole nother show. But Christianity has a very negative effect. And, you know, I was talking about the stem cell research, their anti-homosexual agenda, their, you know, their stopping of condom use in Africa. We can talk about the evolution issue, where they're trying to force creationism into the schools. Then we have the climate change issue. That could possibly destroy all human life on this planet. And it's something that they're actively working to stop us from solving this climate change problem. You know, science is trying to save humanity. Al Gore, I guess, temporarily included. Even though I'm not an Al Gore fan. And all Christianity can do is say climate change isn't happening. That how can God's creation be messed up by us puny humans? So, I don't know. The fact that Christianity, and I know some of the scientists working on the climate change problem are Christians. But let's face it, they're not really stopping the religious right either. They're sitting by and watching them do it. And my column in Dangerous Talk this week, this current column, talks about that and how Christian moderates are allowing religious right to rape humanity. And they're just standing by watching. So, you know, I hold them partially accountable to these things too. Anyway, getting back to this letter, he also said that I don't seem to have studied thought reform, which is commonly called brainwashing. I've studied it a little bit, and I said that, you know, in my previous letter that I studied a little bit. I'm not an expert like he is. He's an expert. I grant him that. But you don't need to be an expert to know that some of the techniques used by the religious right and even the religious left are brainwashing. I mean, let's face it, when you're born and before you can even talk, you already are labeled a Christian. That's brainwashing to the extreme. And then there are all kinds of subtle ways Christianity goes about to brainwash people. And I did a couple of videos on this. They target certain people. Here's a quick story, because I'm running out of time, but I got a quick story here. When I was in college, there was this kid that I knew who lived on the first floor of my dorm. And he, shortly after becoming a freshman, he became a fundamentalist Christian. And he wrote about it in the Christian newspaper. And I had said to some of my atheist friends back then that if I was going to create an atheist newspaper, I would include that story anyway, as is. The reason why is basically he said he broke up with his girlfriend before coming to college. It was the first time he was away from home. He didn't know anybody. Everybody on his floor were Christian. Everybody on his floor were actually fundamentalist Christian. And they all went to the same Christian group. He had nobody else to talk to. They asked him if he would come, you know, and to be open-minded and try it out. And he did. And he was saved that very day. And I got to tell you, if that ain't brainwashing, maybe I haven't studied all the data on brainwashing. And I may not know the different types of brainwashing there is, although I think I'm a little knowledgeable on that. That's brainwashing. I got to tell you, they targeted him. And when I went to, also when I was in college, they had a religious forum. They had tables set up for each religious group on campus. First off, you walk into that forum, and every table is a Christian table. They didn't have a Muslim table. They didn't even have, Hillel wasn't even there. They were all Christian groups. So right away, I mean, when all your choices are Christian, then you really don't have much of a choice. I walked up to each table. Each table, the first question they asked me was, are you a freshman? And I wrote about this in the school paper because at the time I thought they were just being friendly. But then I realized, no, they wanted to know because freshmen are more likely to be alone, lonely, not know anybody, perfect, because as soon as you become into their group, you now have their entire group as your friends. And churches are the same way. Now I'm in real estate, you know, my broker asks everybody, you know, are you involved in your church? Am I involved in my church? Implying that I have a church. Well, actually, I don't know if he put it that way, but that's basically the one of the things that they want to know, because that's a social network of people you can tell that you're a realtor, you know. And the thing is, it's just accepted that everybody has a church, that or a house of worship to go to, and that there's a huge social network there. You know, I've talked to many Christians who go, oh, Christians are so charitable people. You know, when I was in this dire situation, my church came and helped me out. Well, of course, because you're a member of the cult. So the rest of the cult members are going to try and help you out because they want you to stay in the cult. It's not that they like you, because if you divorced yourself from Christianity, they would drop you like a rock. Now, I'll tell you, I've had atheists tell me they were no longer atheists, and I'm still their friends. So, you know, it's different for us in the secular community. It's a different friend dynamic, I'll give you that. But, it you know, it happens. And I'm still their friend. I have friends that are Christian too, but I still think they're in a cult. And I don't think this guy can dismiss these charges so easily, this Rick Ross. So he goes on, he says, there is a distinction between indoctrination, most Christian churches, and thought reform, as they can be seen within Scientology. Now, I'm sure there is, but indoctrination isn't the only tool that Christianity uses. It is their most effective tool, but it isn't their only tool. He also says, have you ever taken a course in Scientology, or have a family member that has taken a course in Scientology? And I think with that question, he's trying to argue that you don't really know how bad Scientology is. And here's a little story. When I was in D.C. Rallying Supreme Court when we were trying to fight to take Under God out of the pledge, since it's been there illegally, I met a atheist who is a lawyer up in New York, and we went out for drinks after me, him, Sean Philly, and a bunch of other people. And he was telling us about his time in Scientology. Apparently, he was in Scientology really, really deeply. And, I mean, he had to be deprogrammed in the whole thing. And now he works part-time as a deprogrammer of Scientology. And he gave us all the gory details about it. And there's no doubt in my mind, Scientology is really a bad cult. You know, I'm not disputing that. And I don't mean to dispute that with Rick Ross, because I agree with him. Scientology is bad. It is aggressive and overtly aggressive. And yeah, they use these brainwashing techniques very clearly. But look at Christianity. Christianity, well, let me skip that a little bit. Islam also is very aggressive. And that's why Sam Harris considers them a very dangerous threat. And they are. But Christianity, I think, is more dangerous because they're not as overt. They're not as actively aggressive, even though many of them are. Many Christians are just as bad as the Scientologists and Islamic fundamentalists. But they have because they have so many denominations or sects of their cult, they have some sects that are liberal and some sects that are not. And so when you criticize the, you know, one sect, the other sect gets offended. So, they try to play good cop, bad cop on us, which is, in my opinion, a form of brainwashing right there. But Christianity has evolved. Most Christians are not to the point where they're going to torture someone until they believe, like they did in the Inquisition. But the Inquisition did happen. They were at the same stage as Scientology is and Islam is now. They've just evolved, ironically enough, and realized that that strategy doesn't work too well. It's better to be more passive in their brainwashing techniques and to do things a little differently and to play the good cop, bad cop, and to prey on people's fears, like as a predator. Like I don't know how many times I've heard people tell. Just yesterday, somebody responded to my MySpace video, "The Suck of Jesus." They said, "You know, you're gonna go to hell and damnation for all eternity, but you can still, but there's still a chance. You can pray right now and be forgiven and go to heaven forever and ever." And I'm thinking, I'm so afraid of hell. I'm just so terrified of that prospect, going to hell for all eternity and burning and suffering in fire and brimstone, that I can say suck at Yahweh and not really have any problem and suck at Jesus. Because I'm not even the least bit afraid of that. But they use that technique on Judgment Day, you know, when you're before God and you have to give an account. You know, none of your good deeds are going to mean anything unless you swear allegiance to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. How many times have we all heard this? This is brainwashing. It's going on. And do they use mind control techniques? Absolutely they do. Like I talked about that, you know, with people in college, those stories, that's brainwashing techniques. There are other things they do too, but I mean, AA. Don't get me started with AA. I mean, that's a whole brainwashing zoo right there. You have to, you know, surrender yourself to a higher power, you know, and if that power happens to be named Jesus, you know, that's okay. You know, and not everybody who comes out of AA becomes a Christian, but it's certainly pushed on them. It's just unbelievable. Well, anyway, back to the letter. Because I'm getting off topic, and I'm almost done with it, I think, too. He says, I like this line, "Or is it that you just like arguing?" Yes, I actually do like arguing, but I'm actually trying to make a point, too. He also has a list of controversial churches, and some of them are Christian. He does have a long list of church groups, or Christian groups, that he does consider cults, which is good. Now, I think I made some reference that he might be afraid to call Christianity a cult because of how strong they are. And he says, no, that it's not, and that I should do my homework. And he's right, I should do my homework. Everybody should do their homework. He says, anyone who is critical of Scientology is much more likely to be harassed, sued, or stalked than anyone critical of Christianity. I don't necessarily agree with that. I can tell you that I've gotten death threats. I've gotten harassing letters. While no one has stalked me personally, I know atheists who have been stalked. Brian Sapient is a great example of that. from the Rational Response Squad. He was stalked. In fact, he had some wacky Christian stalk his kid. You know, and that's why he's Brian Sapient and not Brian, his real name. So, yeah, I mean, that's a serious... So I disagree with that. That, you know, we're more like... We put up the Tree of Knowledge in Westchester. Do you know how many harassing letters we got about that? The Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia? Not only did we get them in our mail, like, not only... But in the newspaper, people harassed us publicly in the newspaper. So that's like public record. They're not even secretive about the harassment. They're right up front. And then, this is the most surprising statement I think he makes. I don't recall Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens complaining they have been stalked by private investigators or subjected to harassment lawsuits, which often happens to people who are that criticize Scientology. Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett, the Four Horsemen. I'm sure this guy hasn't read their books or talked to them, because they have had quite the bit of harassment. And by the way, Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia, we're threatened with a lawsuit because we have our public meetings, our meetings open to the public in a library, a public library. And we were threatened with a lawsuit. I don't think anything came about from that, but yeah, so we were threatened too. Yeah, it's just crazy. But anyway, I think what I want my listeners, you dangerous talkers out there, to do is to write your story of how you feel you've been indoctrinated by Christianity, and systematically by Christianity, and, you know, some of the things that the cult of Christianity has done to you, some of the harassments and things of that nature. Because I think that if I'm the first guy to contact this guy about churches, there's something wrong. I mean, this guy is a known guy. Meanwhile, I didn't know him. You know, his credential list is huge. He's been on all kinds of TV shows. And he's like the Dr. Phil of the cult world. In any case, I think it is important that we let him... Because I don't know what his religious views are. I'm pretty sure he's a Jewish guy from reading his thing. But Jewish guys are generally kind of secular, but kind of have a respect for all religion kind of thing. Growing up as a Jew, I kind of got that impression. That's how my family is. And, you know, that's how I was brought up. And it wasn't until I saw how horrible Christianity is, and then looked back and saw how horrible, you know, Judaism is as a religion, that I really broke out of that. But I think this guy is just, it's not that he's trying to be malicious. I think he just doesn't understand just how bad Christianity is, because it's not in your face. The thing is, he may be a cult member, and to some extent, to that extent, a cult member is never going to agree that they're in a cult. So I think it is important that we get this out there. So his website is rickross.com. And on his website, you can go to, he has a contact page. So you can go to his contact page. And you can say that I sent you from Dangerous Talk, and that you have a story to tell. And please, and if you want, because I know we can get harassed too. I don't think he's going to publish your names, or he seems, from my view of things, like a decent guy. But if you are worried about your identity, create a Yahoo email and just, you know, send him an email from there. That way it's kind of anonymous. And you can tell him you created this account just to send him something anonymously, if you want. But I really want to hit this guy hard with some of these things, because I don't think he is actually aware of them. And that is scary. So email him. His email address is info@rickross.com. So that is info@rickross.com. And his website is, of course, rickross.com. Now we have some other announcements. You can email me. Also, if you know, that's another thing. If you want, you can email me, and I'll email your story to him. And or make a YouTube video. You can email me at dangeroustalk@gmail.com. You can listen to the Dangerous Talk on Dangerous Demand podcast through dangeroustalk.net. Go to the Dangerous Demand or the Listen page and click on Dangerous Demand. And also, listen, we have a Dangerous Demand player on the MySpace page, which is myspace.com/dangeroustalk. You, as I said, you can make a YouTube video and send that to him, telling him your story or just putting your story out there. And that is youtube.com/dangeroustalk. And I would like to hear your stories as well. There's also a new site out there called atheist-tv.com. And it's not my site, but they do have some programming, and one of the programs they have is mine. And they were asking for stories of how you deconverted from Christianity, so or from any religion, really. So you can put that up there and send that to them, too. I'm sure they'd like to have that. Other things, we have the Dangerous Columns, Dangerous Talk Columns, on DangerousTalk.net, and we have a short list of those. Let me go through them with you. The current common sense column, which is mine, is Atheist Extremists, and I talked briefly about that earlier. Check that column out. Silent Steve's Stories, his current one is Our Father Who Art in Our Wallets, and you can go to his website, oneoveralpha.com, and check out more of his stories. He's got some good ones. Sean Philly writes The Way of the Atheist, and his current one is The Irony of Islamo-Fascist Awareness Week. Janice Rail writes Secular Spice, and her column is Atheism Aside, Separation Supporters Should Seek Solidarity. I don't necessarily agree with that column, but I allow all opinions to be expressed. My brother's column, he writes Modest Proposal. And his current one is a response to Michael Gerson. And he swears to me he's going to write another one shortly. He's been very busy doing his MySpace page, the Atheist Team, A-Team MySpace page. And he has some good blogs up there. I wish he'd turn one of them blogs into a column. But in any case, he's got a lot of good discussions going on his blog, so you can check that out. It's myspace.com/atheistteam. Geekology 101. That's our actress, Casey, and she writes, It's Hard Out There for a Model Yo. You can check out some of her stuff on her website, in which she has nude photos, at caseyrulestheworld.com. And our lone Christian columnist, Tom Meredith, he writes The Religious Middle, and his current column is On Being Born Again, Clarification of a Controversial Phenomenon. So those are our columns currently up there. We also have competitions and projects. We have the Most Dangerous Song Competition, the Most Dangerous Art Competition. We have the Halloween Forever Project, the Free Them for Freedom Project, where we have some nude women. And we also have the No Confidence Project, which is a little bit separate. You can print out posters, the No Confidence posters, on DangerousTalk.net and let your congressmen and representatives and know that if they do not actively push for the impeachment of the vice president or the president, that we will vote no confidence when they are up for re-election. We have to threaten their jobs. If enough people send in flyers or call their offices telling them that, they'll be forced to listen. So that's something you can do that might actually have an effect aside from calling them and say, I'm mad at you. because that gets you nowhere. But if you tell them that you are normally a supporter of theirs, but you're going to vote no confidence, you know, and tell your friends to do that too, then they'll think second about it. We also have our photo gallery, where we have pictures of our spokesmodels, Sarah, Aaron, and Jackie. And we also have photos of some of you who are dangerous listeners who decided you wanted to print out posters and from DangerousTalk.net and take pictures of yourselves. If you do that, I will put them up on DangerousTalk.net with your permission. You can also buy t-shirts, Dangerous Talk t-shirts, from the Dangerous Store and wear them and take pictures, and I will put them up as well. And so those are things you can do, be involved on the website, and other stuff as well. I want to give some shout. Oh, we have Dangerous Forums, which I haven't really been on. I've been bad about that. It's where you can comment on the show or anything that we're doing, and that's sponsored by our good friends over at the Rational Response Squad. And I'd also like to give a shout-out to our good friends at freethoughtforums.org, atheist-tv.com, and fsgp.org, which is the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia. It's not just for Philadelphia anymore. We have expanded. If you have been discriminated against by Christians in the job, workplace, or something of that nature, please send in your story about how you've been discriminated against to our anti-discrimination network. We are keeping a record of these things, and we are using them to help fight for the rights of non-believers, because we did not drink the Kool-Aid. The other thing is, the other project that I've done is I've created the, through Autism Speaks, the Atheist for Autism Research. So it's a charity in the name of atheism. Now, some atheists don't like that, but it's out there in the name of atheism, and you can donate to that, and there's a link on both DangerousTalk.net and on the MySpace page. So you can go there, donate money, be a part of it. You can buy an Atheist for Autism Research t-shirt and go to an Autism Speaks event, you know, represent. Show that atheists are charitable people, too. So that's something you might want to think about as well. With that said, I think we are out of time. And just want to say, I hope we all push for Denis Kucinich, even though he's probably not going to win at this point. We should still stand behind him because he is the most secular of the candidates. And I think he's best for this nation. We have officially endorsed him as president. So, I've been working that angle a lot too. But definitely go to rickross.com and email him at info@rickross.com your stories. Let's get that out there. Let's show him we mean some business. And that we do have some legitimate gripes. Because, let's face facts, Christianity is a cult, and it is the most dangerous cult at that. With that said, talkers, continue to be dangerous and say the things that only you talkers can say. Thank you. Have a good night.
I am a terrorist. Words are my tools, my weapons. Through them, my thoughts vibrate around your synapses. They infiltrate your mind. They invade your soul. You are the victim of my speech, a casualty of my dangerous talk.